So in this particular melody, you can hear the way that, in the consequent phrase, that last motive is echoed in dialogue among the various instruments. And as such, the consequent phrase winds up being rather longer than its antecedent. It's an asymmetrical pattern. In place of the symmetrical balance we heard in Mozart, we hear something that's decidedly more emphatic. The hammering home of that final cadence is something that's very much part of Beethoven's musical personality. It's an energy that maybe anticipates the drama that's about to unfold in the rest of the movement. We'll go back and listen to this piece and what happens next in one of our subsequent lectures on hearing musical form. Well, so far we've been thinking about late 18th century melodies with their nice, balanced, antecedent, consequent designs. What about other musical styles? Well, Bach's musical idiom, like much Baroque music, is founded upon a particularly intensive cultivation of musical motives. Antecedent and consequent pairs are all but absent in his style. Instead, his melodies tend to spin forth long musical ideas from a series of very concentrated musical moments. Consider, for instance, this melody from a very famous two-voice invention or contrapuntal piece for keyboard, in which you can hear Bach spinning almost every imaginable permutation of his initial idea through a long series of gestures all the way up to a cadence. First, let's listen to the melody alone. This is just the right-hand part from this particular contrapuntal piece. I'm only interested in the melody here. And then we'll pause to think about the way that he builds this melody from a very small number of musical motives. So first, the melody in its entirety.